A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display? I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 114. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are continuing our discussion of Chalky. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
So we are talking about ITV's 1984 adaptation of John Wyndham's novel Chalky. It was a 6-episode serial that dealt with some interesting ideas about alien contact through the mind of a child.
And it's a children's show from ITV, as you say. An interesting show. Minimal special effects, but quite a lot of interesting ideas, and pretty well done with a fairly strong cast, as we discussed in our last episode. So, you know, some interesting stuff to talk about. So last time we discussed the first 6-episode series, which came out in 1984, and we met the character of Matthew Gore, a young boy who hears the voice of Chalky, who we learn is a scout for an alien race looking to make contact with mankind. But her interference, or her sort of impact on Matthew's life and on certain events in Matthew's life, may have breached the rules of her own society.
That's right. And actually, the idea of Chalky being female is sort of an interesting plot point of them by making that assessment that Chalky is neither male nor female, but they would consider her female for point of reference. Now, the same team that produced Chalky produced a sequel called Chalky's Children. That was a year later in 1985. It was another 6 episodes, another 6 30-minute episodes. And it explains and sort of goes into more details of sort of some political things. And there was an abduction involved with Matthew and other organizations becoming more interested in this situation and sort of discovering the idea of Chalky and what this might do. This is not directly based on John Wyndham's work, although it uses some similar ideas and some of the same characters, but it has a bunch of new characters, a girl called Albertine. There was also an appearance by Ed Bishop, who we have talked about before more than once, and in this case, he is playing a villain. As usual, he comes into play when a series needs an American character located in the UK.
We've said this before on British Invaders, but in the 70s and 80s, we only had 2 American actors over here in Britain, and one of them was Ed Bishop.
It's something like that, yeah.
Yeah, if we needed an American, we sent for Ed Bishop, and if we couldn't get him, we got Shane Rimmer. So that's the first sequel, Chalky's Children, which, as you say, 1985, did some interesting things with the story, but completely now sort of moving beyond John Wyndham's novel. And obviously, this must have been quite successful for ITV, I think, Brian, because not only did they get the first sequel, but they got a second sequel in 1986, which was called Chalky's Challenge. And again, we've got 6 30-minute episodes. And what we have here, I think we've got Matthew and his parents just becoming minor characters in the story. They're sort of moved out of the way. They make brief appearances. But instead, we have the young girl, Albertine, who we met in Chalky's Children, and her father, and a group of gifted children, like Albertine herself. And she's working with this group of gifted children and with the guidance of Chalky, and the voice of Chalky now appearing to Albertine and her friends as they build some strange sort of science project. That seems to be the thrust of this of the third Chalky show. And it sort of, again, this is straying even further away from the ideas of John Wyndham, I think, Brian. So it perhaps suffers from that. My comments as I was watching it was that it almost turns into the Tomorrow People with children with special powers getting together. So it's a little bit strange compared perhaps with the first two.
Yes, I think it's fair to say that the second one, Chalky's Children, was definitely not directly based on Wyndham's work. And it was sort of moving a little further away from Wyndham's characters and his ideas and so on. And then Chalky's Challenge moves even further away from Wyndham's work and his ideas, his story, his characters, and so on.
Yes, they do seem to be stretching it a bit in the third show, and they do seem to be having to pad and fill a bit as well. And we get this strange thing that each of the gifted children at some point in these six episodes has to do their own little musical performance. It's almost like they do their little star turns for us at various points, Brian.
Yes, that was a little odd.
Yeah.
In the sequels, there were actually two actors from various Gerry Anderson shows showing up. Prentice Hancock, who played Paul in Space 1999, is in both Chalky's Children and Chalky's Challenge as Albertine's father. And Ed Bishop, who starred in UFO, as we mentioned earlier, he shows up as a villain in Chalky's Children. So kind of interesting to see them showing up.
It is, and at least we've got a couple of reliable actors in there, because some of the other performances, unfortunately, are not quite so good as in the first series. The child actors, some of them really struggle slightly. And interestingly, Andrew Elams, who played Matthew, appears to have become a slightly worse actor as he grew older.
Perhaps so, or perhaps it was just the material.
Maybe, that's right. So we should talk a little bit about the book and other adaptations of John Wyndham's novel. Perhaps we'll talk a bit about the differences as well, because the book is told, I think I'm writing this, Brian, very much from the point of view of Matthew's father, who is recounting the events that seem to be happening with his son.
Yes, that's definitely true. And that was part of what made the book interesting, is it was from this perspective, that it was not from Matthew's perspective interacting with Chalky directly. It was from the perspective of a father seeing this happen to his son and having to deal with that. And I think because of that perspective, it made it more than just a children's novel or a novel for kids. It was something that was more complicated than that and has more appeal to adults as well as children because of that perspective. And I think they dealt with that pretty well in the television series. You can't do the point of view quite as well, of course, but it did a nice job with showing that sort of focus on David, Matthew's father, and how he was dealing with the situation. Something else that I think was a difference is in the television version, we see sort of evidence of what's happening and evidence that Chalky is a real alien thing. We see evidence of that very early. It's in the first episode, where in the novel, it sort of takes longer and we have to deal with this idea, well, what is going on? Is it something alien? Is it not?
Yeah, it was. It's an interesting decision, I think, on the part of the TV production that, as you say, we're not giving anything away because it's right there at the start of the first episode. We see one of these strange light effects that indicates the presence of Chalky. So, you know, right from the start in the TV show, we know that there's something alien or strange going on. Whereas you say, that's delayed a lot further in the book, because it's told from the point of view of the father, who's not quite sure what's happening to his son.
Yes, the perspective there definitely did make a difference.
Yeah. But it did, I mean, as you say, we talked about in the last episode, the relationship between Matthew and his father is very well done in the TV show, though, as well. And, it is good to have a solid, dependable and sympathetic actor like James Hazeldene playing the father. And his sort of concern and, his growing sort of awareness of what's happening to Matthew is very well done.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so we'll talk a little bit about other adaptations of Chalky. Now, interestingly, Wikipedia tells us that there was a 1967 BBC radio adaptation, which you can actually listen to on the Internet Archive, and I'll put a link up on our Facebook page. But that's quite interesting because that seems to be a year before the book itself was actually published in 1968. And at first I thought this might be a mistake, but all the sources seem to indicate that it was on the radio actually before the book came out. So presumably, the BBC must have been sort of interested in anything John Wyndham was doing and looking to do an adaptation straight away.
That is very interesting. They were certainly doing other radio adaptations of his work at that time. I think their Day of the Triffids radio play was at a similar time.
Mm. I mean, if you know anything more about the dates of the radio play and the relationship to the book's publication, then do please let us know. Either drop us an email or a comment on the our website, or pop in on the Facebook page.
Yes, it would be interesting to know how that process happened, that they came out so close together.
Then we've got another BBC radio adaptation on Radio 4 in 1998, a full cast audio, which has since been rebroadcast on BBC 7 and is available on a BBC CD, so you can actually get hold of that as well.
Was that on BBC 7 or on BBC 4 Extra?
Oh, right, yeah. It could be on 4 Extra now, of course, which is the BBC's new voice channel.
Yeah, it says the names of things change. There is a possibility that there may be a new adaptation of Chalky. Steven Spielberg has the film rights, and IMDb lists him as the director of a 2013 movie version of Chalky. Now, sometimes these listings like that in IMDb can be pretty speculative, and you know, as each year passes, they move a year or two further into the future. But at least there is some possibility that there may be something that could be produced there, so that could be interesting.
Well, anything with the name Steven Spielberg attached to it is of potential interest, really, I guess, Brian. I wonder how they would do it on a film, whether they would keep it as just a disembodied voice for Chalky, or whether they would feel the need for some, you know, bigger and flashier special effect. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. But the way the story is set up with the children and the adults does seem like sort of a fit for Spielberg's style.
Yep, it's certainly an area that he's had much success in the past. So yes, you're quite right. It would fit with him. Interesting one to watch out for.
Yes.
Chalky. I think Mummy's worried again.
She does not understand.
I know. People don't. Only my father, perhaps, and Dr. Landis.
Yes. Dr. Landis understands. Your father tries to.
So I think it's time for us to get into a bit more of our own thoughts here. We've put a few in already, but let's get into what we thought about the good and the bad. Eamon, what did you think about Chalky? What did you like?
Okay, well, let's talk about the adaptation of the book itself, because I think they did a pretty good job in the first series of delivering John Wyndham's novel on the small screen and getting across some of these ideas about what an alien species would be interested in and how they might make contact with us. So I think for the first one, which, you know, obviously builds on the strengths of the John Wyndham book itself, the writing's pretty good to begin with, Brian.
Yes, I think Anthony Reed did a pretty good job adapting this. It stands up pretty well as a drama.
Okay, what else did you like about the show, Brian?
I quite enjoyed the performances. I thought this was very well cast. The characters really did seem to match how they were in the novel and how they came across with the script. I thought in particular, James Hazeldine was great in this. I always enjoy James Hazeldine, but he was definitely a good fit for that part. He was very good in this. And Andrew Elams, I don't know how old he was at the time. He can't have been very old, but he was good. It was definitely a good turn for a young actor in something like this.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, in the first serial, the performances are pretty good all round. And that rather sort of touching relationship between the father and the son is very well done by James Hazeldine and Andrew Elams. Plus, he has this slightly spooky intensity to his performance as the child, which sort of goes along with the general theme. And we get some solid backup performances from Carol Drinkwater and from Jeremy Bullock and so on. So the performances in the first series are very good. I think they diminish in the second and third series, but we'll perhaps get to that in a few moments.
Yes, I think that's fair to say. In the first serial, I don't have many bad things to say about it. I think it was really done quite well. As adaptations go, it was not quite as close as some of the BBC adaptations have been, I think. I personally think that BBC's Day of the Triffids a couple years earlier was a closer adaptation than this, and I think it was also a better drama than this. But really, I think Chalky was quite well done. I enjoyed that 6-episode serial a lot.
Absolutely, yes. As you say, the first serial, very well done. Obviously building on the strengths from John Wyndham. We got the special effects, you know, the lights and the lasers and the sounds, pretty good. And it's all done very well. As you say, it's not perhaps as good as Day of the Triffids, which we both really enjoyed as a good adaptation of a John Wyndham work. And it's probably the best adaptation of one of his books that we've seen as yet, I think, Brian.
Yes. I think maybe the visual effects when Chalky shows up are a little bit weak. Some of them, at times, it lets it down a little bit than it might have been nicer to see them leave some of the things out and do something a little bit simpler. But that's a fairly minor gripe. I think on the whole, it was very solid. And what it brings me back to is that at this time, certainly in the 1980s and earlier, on British television, certainly on the BBC, in this case on ITV as well, adaptations of novels tended to be quite close to the originals. They would pay a lot of respect to that original source material. And if they could make something match to the source material, they would. And that's something that I really enjoy. It's not the case with every adaptation we've seen. I think it's more often the case on the BBC, not always the case on the BBC. But certainly, in many cases, it is, and it was here too. And I like that that fact that it is Chalky by John Wyndham, adapted by Anthony Reed. That's how it shows up on the title sequence, and that's really how it was done. It was Reed bringing this to screen, and I think that tradition they had of making things so faithful was really nice.
Yeah, it is a very interesting, very good adaptation. As you say, nice to see television sticking to the book for, you know, not necessarily for change, but it was nice in those days. They stuck very closely to books.
Now, the second and third serials, the sequels that were original material by Anthony Reed using the characters and a couple of the ideas from Chalky. What did you think of those?
I think we've probably sort of given this away as we go along, Brian, haven't we? That we get diminishing returns on this idea. So the first sequel, Chalky's Children, doesn't quite live up to the dizzy heights of the first serial. It's not bad. There's some interesting stuff in there and this introduction of a new character. But then by the time we get to the third series, when Matthew has more or less moved out of the picture and we only see him and his father very briefly, I think on the third series, they're really stretching the material, I think, Brian.
Yes, the third one, I think, was really quite weak, actually. The second one was okay. It did have some pretty good stuff in it, although it certainly wasn't as good as the adaptation of Wyndham's material. It did have some nice things and some good moments in it. The new characters that they introduced were interesting. They were good ones. I liked some of the performances, but the performances and the casting were not as good as what they did with the original characters. And it was always often the highlight moments in the second and third serials were when those original characters show up, because they were the ones with the strongest performances, and the later characters often were just not quite as good. Although some of them were still pretty good. Although some of the ones introduced in the third one, in Chalky's Challenge, were really not very good.
No, they are, you know, yes, it's a terrible little bunch of children adventurers they introduce in the third serial. Tomorrow People Light, you know. Some of it is quite difficult to watch, I think.
Yeah, it goes into sort of generic, low-quality children's sci-fi at that point, which is too bad.
Yeah.
In the second one, at least, they took some of the minor elements of the original novel that sort of related to these ideas of, you know, what will other people and other organizations do when they find out about Chalky. They take those things and they sort of run with them. And Anthony Reed did do some pretty good stuff with that, although it was not at the level of the original, but there was some pretty good stuff there. And the third one really doesn't have anything as interesting as that to offer.
Yes, I mean, there's a slight problem in the third one that they don't have the big idea to run with. They don't have a villain that's as strong as the Ed Bishop character from the second serial. And they have this group of children who all are, you know, prodigies of various types and all get to do their little musical turn for some reason. It's all a bit strange. Not terribly well done in the third serial.
Yeah, some of it was quite odd. It's worth noting that Chalky, both the novel and the first TV serial, doesn't really have a villain. It's really about the central characters struggling with this situation and the ideas of it. And there is definitely dramatic tension there, but there is no real villain in it. And they sort of fall back to a more traditional, more obvious kind of setup by adding a more definite villain or multiple villains in some respects in the second serial, Chalky's Children.
Yeah. And then in the third serial, we're reduced to sort of children adventure show staples of characters getting captured and escaping and of items being kept safe and then they're not safe and they're disappearing and people running around Chalky chasing things. And it's sort of predictable fare, I think, by the time of the third series.
Yes, that's right.
They'd have said that this was a plain case of possession.
Possession?
I said that's what our ancestors would have thought. But I'm not sure possession is the right word. It does imply domination. And this seems more like a working arrangement.
What do you mean?
Well, when Matthew was ill, he asked you to send Chalky away, and she went. Since then, they seem to have agreed that she should only visit at times that suit him. Him, you notice, not her.
But surely that proves that it's something inside Matthew, if he can control it.
Oh, no, not at all. Matthew says he had a lot of trouble at first because Chalky's time isn't the same as ours. But he got round that by setting the kitchen timer to demonstrate the duration of an hour. So now she knows how to avoid awkward times like meals, or when he's doing his homework, or even in the middle of the night. Apparently, she used to wake him up at first with strings of impossible questions. He didn't like that.
No, he wouldn't.
Wait a moment. Now you're talking as if this Chalky really exists. Let's be clear about this. Chalky is simply a name for Matthew's imaginary friend, just like Polly's Piff. What we
Mary,
need to
whatever
know
else
is...
she may be, Chalky is nothing like Polly's Piff. I'm quite certain that Chalky comes from outside Matthew.
Well, I can understand.
Now we should talk a little bit about availability. If you want to see some of this stuff, how would you do that?
Well, you're able to watch the complete trilogy. The Chalky Trilogy DVD set is still available on Amazon here in the UK, currently going for £13.99, and that will give you all three of the serials. Not much in the way of extras on that DVD set. There is an interview with the writer, Anthony Reed. I'm not sure what else is on there in the way of bonus material, Brian.
Yeah, I'm not sure offhand. I think there were also a couple of individual releases with just the first serial or just one of the other serials. I don't know if you actually save very much by getting those instead of getting the whole thing.
Or you can rent it on Love Film, or you can get hold of the individual serials that way if you just want to watch the first one. So that's over here in Region 2.
In Region 1, there is no DVD release. The Region 2 set is available as an import at the moment on Amazon.com for about $16, so that's not bad. And that is a Region 2 set, so you would need to be able to play that.
Or, if you prefer, and if you can cope with some of the uploading problems, all the serials seem to be available on YouTube at the moment. The quality is a bit variable. I know that some of the episodes have got problems with the sound not being synced up with the action, but they are all there at the moment if you want to seek them out.
Yes, if you can, perhaps the DVDs would be a better option.
Yeah, certainly much better quality.
Yes. The book is certainly available from a variety of places, and the BBC radio play from 1998 is also available. And as we had mentioned earlier, the 1960s radio play is not available for sale, but Internet Archive, I believe, has a copy of it hanging around.
That's right, you can get it there. So that brings us to the question of whether you should watch this show. Now we told you how you can watch it. It brings us to our recommendations. And Brian, how are you going to start us off?
Well, for the first serial, Chalky, I would definitely recommend it. It is a great little show. I like John Wyndham's work, and I like it when it's well adapted, and it certainly was well adapted here. So for that first serial, yes, definitely recommend it. I would check it out. The sequels, as we have alluded to before, are not as good. The second one is okay, you know, decent little show, not definitely not as good as the first one. And the third one I would not particularly recommend unless you want to make the comparison and see what it was like. But that original serial, Chalky, definitely recommended. Very good show.
Okay, I think I would agree. The first six episodes of Chalky, the first serial, really quite good stuff. Really brings home or brings over the John Wyndham ideas, and it's very well delivered. So yes, we'd certainly recommend watching that one. And then probably because the easiest way is to get hold of them on the trilogy. If you're interested, you can then watch the second and third. But like yourself, Brian, the second one is sort of okay, and the third one is pretty terrible, actually.
Yeah, you may find yourself coming back to rewatch the first one more than the others.
There you are. That's our recommendation. Watch the first one and then watch it again two more times.
So, in summary, Chalky was a six-episode adaptation of the novel by John Wyndham. It was about young Matthew Gore, who is about 10 or 11 years old, something like that. And he is in contact mentally with an alien entity called Chalky. And Chalky has some interesting things to say, and they have some discussions about the nature of life and technology and so on. And other people perceive this as something sort of strange because they cannot hear the voice of Chalky themselves. So you get this strange thing playing out where people are observing this unusual behavior caused by the fact that Matthew is in fact in contact with Chalky. And there are some new and different abilities and skills that Matthew displays. And this comes out in an interesting sequence of events over the course of it. There were also two sequel serials that were made that were not based on stories by Wyndham. And they start to involve other children who are also in contact with Chalky, and more ideas about what other people will do when they discover that this advanced alien is in contact with humans.
So, interesting show. We like the first one and we certainly recommend it. And as ever, if you've watched Chalky and you can jump in with your reviews, please let us know your comments either on the blog or on the Facebook page.
Absolutely. It's always great to hear from you.
And jump back and join us next time when we're sticking with ITV children's shows, but we're going back to 1972 to watch a show called Escape into Night, which was based on the book Marianne Dreams by the writer Catherine Storr. A spooky show for us next time, Brian.
Yes, another adaptation of a novel, but a very different novel and a very different type of show. So you can reach us at britishinvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.britishinvaders.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. We hope to have your company for next time, and until then, this is Eamon in England, saying goodbye.